Morning, church. Dr. Moss is at CYC this weekend, so they decided to let the interns have a little bit of fun and get to preach Sunday morning. We'll see how long that lasts. We'll see if we're allowed back. But I am very thankful to be able to preach to you on Sunday morning. Any opportunity to preach God's word is a blessing, and so I'm very thankful for the opportunity. Moving into this morning's lesson, this lesson came from a conversation I had with a friend of mine. And this friend of mine hasn't been to church in quite a while. So to be able to have a conversation with him of this nature was quite interesting. And for him to bring up some of the things that I'm going to be talking about this morning, it was quite convicting because it was something that hadn't really occurred to me in the past. So this morning, I want us to talk about love. And you might be thinking that love, Christians should have love down, right? It shouldn't be anything new. Well, oftentimes, I think we tend to overlook love. And interestingly enough, love is one of the greatest commandments that has ever been given to us, which is why I asked John up there to play the greatest command. It is one of my favorite hymns, and I find it very convicting when I listen to it, because God is love. God is indeed love. And I find that we tend to forget that at times. God commands us to love God and to love others. Interestingly enough, that is the mission statement here at 36th Street. It's to love God, love others, and to share His story. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning, is share his story and demonstrate God's love. So this morning I want us to look at Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 36, and we're going to camp out there for a good portion of the lesson this morning. Beginning in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So here we find the Pharisees and the Sadducees attempting to trap Jesus and attempting to try and make some charge against him stick so that they can put him to death. But you see that Jesus answers in such a way that he challenges their understanding of the Bible, their understanding of Scripture. And I love looking at Jesus' responses because they make me examine my own self, because I don't always follow the law the way I should. So we see this command to love God and to love others. But I have a question, church. What does that love look like? What does God's love really look like? How are Christians supposed to go about loving others? How are we supposed to show ourselves disciples of Christ? Is it when we see somebody sinning, going up to that individual, whether they're a Christian or not, and telling them that they're going to go to hell if they keep a sinful lifestyle? Does it look like telling someone on Facebook that their opinions are wrong because it doesn't match up with mine? It doesn't match up with what I understand. What does love look like, church? I think the best way to figure out what love looks like is to go back to Scripture and to look at how Jesus treated sinners, how Jesus treated other people. And for starters, we can look at the woman caught in adultery. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 3, we see that the Pharisees are once again testing Jesus. So starting in verse 3, it says, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in their midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?' This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. He stood up, and they continued to ask him. And he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. Jesus, being left alone with the woman, Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on sin no more." I find this really interesting, because here we see a group of people all around this one sinner. And Jesus, who is without sin, is being asked, well, in the law it says we have to stone this woman. She's a sinner. She was caught in the act of adultery. But Jesus' response is so unique that he convicts the people that are asking the question. He says, "You who are without sin among you, you can cast the first stone." And Jesus, knowing that no one in that group, except for himself, was without sin, I find this so fascinating. The only man in that group who could have thrown that stone chose not to. Jesus, the only man who could have condemned that woman for her sin, decided not to condemn her. But instead, he showed her love. He showed her kindness. And he showed her mercy. I find this so fascinating, because the people who don't have any right to condemn another person, the people who don't have any right to condemn someone for their sin, are the first ones to do it. And the only man who could have chose not to. What's this say about us, church? Are we being examples of love? Are we following Jesus' example? This is an instance where Jesus had every right to condemn this woman, and he didn't. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty convicted. Because I know that there are times when I have condemned other people for their sin, even though I deserve it just as much as they do. But Jesus does something unique in this instance. And I don't think we see it enough. See, he doesn't condone the act of adultery, but he doesn't condemn the woman for her sin either. You see, Jesus is able to separate the woman from her sin, and he's able to see each individually. He's able to forgive the woman, but call her to repentance. I don't think we see this often enough, church. I think far too often we see the sin and not the sinner, not the broken person behind the sin, the person in need of God's love and forgiveness. I think far too often we're too quick to jump to the conclusion that they chose this and that they are an enemy of God. And it is our job to condemn them for it and make sure we scare them back into submission. I don't remember reading that in my Bible. Now, it is important to remember that we are called to keep each other accountable, those within the body. So if other Christians are falling short and failing, it is important for us to be there by their side, to call them out on their sin, but to help them get back up, to do it in a loving manner. It's not the end of the world just because of sin. It's not over when we fall, it's over when we stay down. When we choose not to get back up and to accept God's grace and to continue working towards Him. I think that's where the issue comes in, church. I don't think we treat each other with enough love as often as we should. Especially when we're dealing with somebody who is living in a life of sin. I think it's important to remember that we are not judge, jury, and executioner, and we are not gatekeepers of heaven. It's not our job to determine who gets to go to heaven or hell. Honestly, I don't want that pressure. Can you imagine that type of pressure? Our job is to love others and to share the word, to share God's word. As it says in 1 Corinthians, we're to be planters and waterers. God provides the growth. I can plant the seed. Another Christian can water. But just because I planted that seed doesn't mean that I have to sit there and watch them go from the time they first hear about Jesus all the way to their baptism. And that doesn't mean I have to call them out on every single sin that they ever commit. I have to invest myself in them, yes. But investing is a little bit more than just standing over somebody as they grow as a Christian. And I think that's important for us to remember. We do need to hold ourselves accountable. When one of us falls or fails, it's important for us to be there to help them back up, to get them back on the right track. It is important. But in the way we do it, we need to be certain that we're showing examples of love. We're being an example of what Jesus was to us, is to us. Jesus didn't condemn somebody just because of their sin. Jesus could see the difference between the sinner and the sin. And He loves us. He shows us love, kindness, and mercy. And I think that's important. Let's look at another verse just to really hammer home this example of love. And if you weren't convicted by the verses before, I think this one really hits home. And we find this in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is how we show love, church. This is how we let people know that we are Christians, that we are followers of God, that we are disciples of Christ. There's an old poem. One of the lines in the poem says, "There's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook." So I have to ask the question, church. Do people see the example of Jesus in your everyday life? Do they see Jesus in the way you carry yourself, in the way that you act, the way that you speak? Do they see love and kindness and how you speak to others and how you go about your day? In one of my college classes, ministerial counseling, I'm really enjoying this class a lot because we don't talk about just counseling. We talk a lot about how ministers deal with situations. And as somebody who is going into ministry, I find that very, very helpful. But one of the conversations we had was an instance in our book. And the scenario in our book was that this woman had grown up in the church and fallen away. But her reasoning for falling away was that she had met a lot of people who were Christians and who weren't. But in the way they acted, she couldn't tell the difference. So what was the point? I find that deeply disturbing. That somebody who could grow up in the church and then meet people who were never churched can't tell a difference between people who had grown up in the church and people who had never met Jesus in the first place. And the way they talk and the way they act, the language that they use, I find that quite frightening. And I would hope that you do too. Because this isn't just some made-up scenario. This does happen. We have to show ourselves to be something different than what the world sees today. And all you have to do is turn on the news for about 5 minutes and see that there is so much division and strife and chaos and hatred simply because people don't look like me or think like me or even act like me. Why does that matter? Jesus didn't approve of the way that we were living before we came to him. Jesus didn't approve of our sin before we came to know Jesus. But Jesus, going to the cross, knowing every single time that I would fail, every single time that I would fall short, every time I would make myself an enemy of God, Jesus knowing this, and knowing that there may be some out there who never know his sacrifice, what he did on that cross. Jesus went to the cross knowing all of this, and he took it anyway. Greater love has no other than this, than to lay down one's life for another. I have news for you. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. Even though we may never come to know him. Now that's the type of love I want to be able to emulate. That's the kind of love I want to be an example of. Church, we have to show our love each and every day. We have to show our love and be the example that Christ was to us. If we were put on trial and tried as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If they were to look at how you carry yourself each and every day, would there be enough evidence that you are a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, to be convicted? Beyond any reasonable doubt, would there be enough evidence? Let us show our love in the world today. Let's make a choice each and every day to love God and put others before ourselves, to love others, to put God first each and every day. There's a quote I keep going back to that I heard when I was younger. And it says, "If you ignore God in the morning, you'll scarcely find him the rest of the day." And as I get older, I find that to be more and more true. If you don't put God first when you get up in the morning, if God is not your first priority in the morning, then you'll struggle the rest of the day. Now, I'm not saying just because you put God first, your life's going to be easy, or that the day is going to be good, or that it's going to make Mondays any easier. Mondays are difficult. Mondays are Mondays. But what I am saying is that there is hope beyond what you are struggling with. And that there are those who care for you no matter what you're struggling with. And that there are those who see beyond what you're struggling with. They see the person that is broken and needs healing. There's a quote that I always find fascinating. And it's, "There's a problem if the church becomes a museum for good people and no longer a hospital for the broken." So I got to ask the question, church. Are we a museum for good people or a hospital for the broken? If you're already a Christian, we need to remember to be the examples of love in the world. We need to let others see the change that God has made within us. We need to be examples of His love. But if you're not a Christian and you haven't come to know who Jesus is, it is my hope and prayer that you see how God is moving in the world around you and within your own life, and that you can see how much God truly does love you. And I pray that you can see the love of God for yourself. And if you have any questions or needs, I hope that you'll reach out to us so that we can help you in any way that we can. We would love to help you. Just remember, show God's love as we stand and sing our next song. Thank you.